This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Tan Chen Li in the studio, and Philip C is joining us from an undisclosed location that we won't reveal at this moment. It has just gone past 7:06, Tuesday, the 15th of March. Let's have a quick recap on how global markets closed yesterday. Chen Li, how did they do? Were they all in the red again?
Yes, except for one market, and I'll get to that. So US markets, Dow was unchanged at 0%. S&P 500 down 0.7%. NASDAQ down 2%. Asian markets, Nikkei is the one who's up a little bit, 0.6%. Hang Seng down 5%. Shanghai Composite down 2.6%. And SDI down 0.5%. FBM KLCI down 0.05%.
Oh my goodness, I cannot believe the Hang Seng is actually down 5%. That's very significant. But to tell us where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for speaking to us again. U.S. markets a bit mixed. The Dow is flat. The S&P 500, like my colleague says, is down 0.7%. But it's the NASDAQ that's taking a beating. It's down 2%. Why do you think tech stocks are getting such getting hit so badly?
Well, part of it is the rotation value and away from growth. And you saw the back up in the 10-year yield. So it's on the expectation that the Fed is going to aggressively have to raise rates because of inflation. And you're seeing this continued rotation out of technology into value. That's going to continue. And then you overlay some of these maybe supply chain issues related to China, what it means for technology, and you still have, you know, people running for cover. However, the NASDAQ is getting, you know, the valuations are starting to improve dramatically as the market comes down. So this could be a good entry point for anyone listening that does not have NASDAQ exposure.
The FOMC will convene for its first meeting tomorrow. So what pronouncements are you expecting the Fed to come up with? Are you calling a 25 or is it a 50 basis point hike at this rate, do you think?
I think it's going to be 25 basis points. The Fed's got to be very careful about inflation, still very hot. The war in Ukraine, the rise in agricultural prices, rents are still going up. So the Fed's job is very difficult. So this is going to be one of many 25 basis point hikes that we foresee this year. I think the Fed goes every meeting for the rest of the year, 25 basis points. That's our call.
So that's 7 meetings, isn't it, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. And staying on the topic of inflation, it's persistent. It's no longer definitely transitory. But what kind of assets can you hide in? Would REITs be a good hedge against inflation or gold?
It is. You know, the problem is some of these asset classes, like you said, gold, REITs, agricultural commodities in general, they've had a pretty good bid, but we still like these assets. We think it's still early to get into them. So we're still buyers of commodities, real estate, gold, minerals, precious metals, base metals. We think there's still some more upside. Inflation has not peaked, and we still have a lot of uncertainty around Ukraine. So I think there's going to continue to bid for these inflation hedges.
We've been seeing a rout in U.S. Treasuries lately. 5-year yield are now above 2%, a level that's not seen since May 2019. What's continuing to drive this sell-off? Will it moderate after the Fed starts raising interest rates?
Yeah, you're right. We haven't seen these. It's been pre-pandemic since we've seen some of the yield curve the way it is right now, even the 10-year above 2%. You know, it is it's on the expectation that the Fed is just woefully behind the curve, number one. Number two, and will go too slowly, right? It's 25 basis points. We really think they should go faster. And then you reduce the balance sheet. So I think it's inflation running hotter than most people expected. Employment numbers are still very robust. Wages are rising. You know, and now whether it's rent, food, energy, all these, you know, we could be close to, we're going to be above 8% inflation. So that's taking out the wind out of the sails, anything related to fixed income. And we are seeing, we talked about that rotation into these inflation hedges. So that's pushing money out of bonds into other assets, hard assets.
And sticking onto the yield curve, we've seen the 10-year Treasury yield on it going like, now it's about 2.13%. Do you think there's any chance of the yield curve inverting this year?
I don't think so. I mean, that's something we're watching very carefully. We'll have to see nominal growth. I mean, the U.S. economy is still pretty robust here. You know, and then it all depends on how the Fed can thread the needle in terms of getting a break on inflation, whether it's, you know, oil prices came down hard today. Was this a one-off? We got supply issues with agricultural commodities. So, you know, we're not looking for the yield curve to be inverted, but let's be clear, and to relate to that point, the odds of a U.S. from 2023 are rising. There's no doubt about that. That's going to really, you know, come into play in the yield curve. And it's really, a lot of it's tied to what's happening in Ukraine, the war, the uncertainty. Europe is sinking as we speak. They're going into recession. So China is shutting down. Shenzhen. There's a lot of recessionary pressures building. U.S. will not be immune to these global forces.
What about stagflation, Joe? Is that something that you're starting to be a little bit worried about?
Yeah, for sure. Yep, stagflation in the sense that you've just got sluggish growth, rising prices. How do you break that cycle? That's going to be very hard. I think that's the best case scenario for Europe, actually, is stagflation.
Okay. And staying on the topic of China, because you brought that up, the Chinese authorities have put Shenzhen, which is, of course, a major tech and shipping hub, under lockdown. Even Shanghai has been impacted. How do you think the Chinese economy will weather this?
Well, it is disappointing. China, you know, the growth is less than 6%. It's closer to 5%. It could be even weaker in Q1 or into, say, Q2. So we're watching it very carefully. And, you know, conversely, it's remarkable reading about China sitting in New York, because in New York, the masks are off. People are out. They're not checking booster, you know, vaccination cards anymore. So the U.S. has kind of pushed and pulled through this well. But we're still, you know, China's a big factory to the world, very important part of the, you know, component, as is Malaysia, all of Southeast Asia. Mm. This is another inhibitor to global growth as we go deeper into this year. So it's war, COVID-19, inflation. We do live in very interesting times, right?
We do. And one major casualty of all this is the Hong Kong stock market. Hang Seng Index yesterday closed down 5% on a year-to-date basis, down 16%. Are you beginning to be a buyer? Do you think there's bargain hunting opportunities there?
Not quite, not just yet, but it's interesting. That was a big topic at our investment strategy committee today. Like, you know, when you look at Hong Kong, exclude Russia, but Hong Kong's one of the worst performing markets from peak to trough in the last 52 weeks. There are starting to be some very good bargains outside the U.S., whether it's Hong Kong, parts of Southeast Asia, Europe, you know, value banks. So we're starting to shop around for value, and Hong Kong is front and center. But the COVID-19, Shenzhen shutting down, trade flows, people leaving, you know, in terms because of the COVID-19 problems, that still has to be worked out. So it could stay cheap for a while, but it's looking more attractive for sure.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, telling us that it's despite the fact that the Hang Seng Index is one of the worst performing markets, it might still stay rather muted for the moment. A lot of headwinds facing that market, China economy being one of them, inflation being another concern.
COVID.
Yeah, yes. COVID is a big thing. I think, like I said earlier on, Morgan Stanley actually forecasting 0% GDP for this quarter. But Philip, do you have something to say? Something wise for us?
Yeah, don't you think it was very interesting, because we saw news overnight that Foxconn was thinking of basically building a joint facility in Saudi Arabia, right, to build microchips, EV components. So I wonder if this is part of a diversification strategy.
Of all places in Saudi, though.
Of all places, right, Saudi Arabia, to, I think, reduce over-reliance perhaps to a specific location like China.
Interesting. But there's one asset class which had a phenomenal run, and let's talk about it, had a phenomenal run and then suddenly shut down. And that is nickel, because the London Metal Exchange will reopen the nickel market tomorrow, more than a week after the exchange suspended trading.
Which they have also cancelled about $3.9 billion of transaction as it grappled with an unprecedented short squeeze that saw prices spike as much as 250% in 2 days. But trading will continue, will resume after Xiang Guangda, I hope I got his name right, whose large short position rolled the market last week. And although he announced there's a standstill with his bank to avoid further margin calls.
Well, you know, we did have a discussion on nickel prices as well as other metals last Thursday with Chu Yi. She's a senior analyst for metals and mining with Bloomberg Intelligence. You can actually catch that podcast entitled Metals Pedal in Full Throttle on the BFM app or on our website, of course. But staying on the topic of somewhat China-related is Tencent. They extended losses to close more than 10% lower after Wall Street Journal reported that it had faced a record fine for violating Chinese anti-money laundering regulations.
According to the journal, the People's Bank of China found Tencent's WeChat Pay had allowed the transfer of funds for illicit purposes such as gambling. Now, a probe into potential money laundering would open a new front in Beijing's sweeping crackdown on the internet industry, an effort that's already wiped out hundreds of billions of dollars in arenas from ride-hailing and e-commerce to online education. Wow.
But we've seen all the Chinese-related tech stocks really getting a hit. I mean, if you look at the NASDAQ Golden Dragon Index, homes to the like of, like I said earlier on, Alibaba, Baidu, NetEase, it slumped like 11% on Monday, plunged at 29% over the last three sessions. It's really doing very, very badly. There is a lot of money coming out of these names. Probably, I'm not sure where they're hiding, because almost every asset class except for commodities is down, actually. So I think this is going to be something that we're going to have to follow. And another casualty recently has been Netflix. Have y'all? Is it because y'all have stopped watching Netflix? Because y'all?
No. I'm waiting for Bridgerton March 25th.
Okay, we all know, we've established Philip is a fan of Bridgerton. But Netflix stock has basically given up all its pandemic gains after falling more than 2% to around $332 yesterday. That's more than 50% down from the company's 52-week high of a $701, which it hit in mid-November.
You know, I saw this Bloomberg chart about net addition to subscribers for Netflix, and you really see the deceleration happening. You know, Netflix peaked in March 2020, where there was that huge surge, but since then, it could never really grow at the same pace. So you see that deceleration, and these recent March numbers with a net addition of subscribers is testament that perhaps the growth is not there at the moment.
Yes, and I think consumers are gravitating towards out-of-home entertainment like movie theatres, restaurants and theme parks, because we are finally able to leave.
So there are more distractions.
Yeah, so you don't have to sit at home at your couch in those four walls again.
Which is why Netflix is trying very hard to grow its international subscription market, right? That's their focus. But they are also facing increasing competition from other streaming platforms. You've got Apple, you've got Disney, but you know, and also content creation has become an extremely expensive endeavor. So I'm sure that's also impacting their margins. But we'll be watching this space, and it clearly shows that at the moment, the BFM team, at least the morning run, still a bit of Netflix addicts here, so can't quite believe the numbers. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.